Well, hello and welcome, and thank you again for the invitation to bring God's word to you. So I've just jumped up the yard with the horses just outside, and I'm in our little touring caravan, which is in a bit of a mess, as you can see, because I'm actually on the bed that, that sometimes I sleep. So, but there we go. God's word is the same in the caravan. I used to call it the gospel caravan, but there we are. Today we'll be looking at James chapter 5, verses 12 to 20. And really important teaching, I feel, that we'll be looking at, because we'll be just looking a little at the world's deadliest weapon, and that is the tongue. It's amazing what damage we can do with our tongue. And what affirmation, what good things we can bring to those people that we know, even just passers-by, as we'll see soon, just by some of the things I'm gonna say. But let's just pray first before we look at God's word. Father, we thank you for your love towards us. Thank you, Lord, that we can bring love to others as well. And just in by our actions and just by our words, Father, we can bring death or we can bring life. Such a powerful thing we have in our mouths, the tongue. Teach us today, we pray. Lord, speak to our hearts and our minds. Bring to our hearts and minds those people that maybe we haven't forgiven. And maybe we have said something and carried it with us for many years because we haven't forgiven ourselves because we've said something. And Lord, maybe we've done something different, just something really positive with our tongue. Bring that to our mind as well. We just ask you, Lord, to speak to us through your word this evening or this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, James brings this very important teaching to us, but just by way of example, just as we're looking at verse 12, where he says, "But most of all, my brothers and sisters, never take an oath, not by heaven or earth or anything else. Just say a simple yes or no, so that you will not sin and be condemned." Most versions say, above all. The New Living Translation says, "but most of all," because this is obviously to James a real serious matter. Now, I know I just looked at a few things and I've used a couple of these things, I swear on my mother's life, or I put hand on heart, and hand on heart, swear to die, I swear to God, or I swear by the Bible. And when someone says that to me, actually, I swear I'm telling you the truth. The first thing I think is that they're lying. Because I think, why do you need to say that? You'll even if you're telling the truth, you don't need to say that. And that's what James is saying. He's saying, let your yes be yes and your no be no. If I feel that I have to go and say to somebody, look, hand on heart, that I'm telling the truth, why do I need to do that? It's almost like I'm telling them that I'm lying unless I do that. I need to. Them to trust me enough, to know me enough, to say that when to know that when my word is my word, it's strong enough, it's truthful, and I don't need to do anything else. It's yes or no, and I'm certainly not going to be telling them a lie. So I don't need to be giving any promises. So James begins by saying, above all, indicating that it's a big deal, and then he repeats the words of Jesus's commands about taking oaths. In Matthew 5, verse 34 to 37, I would say this. But I say, do not make any vows. Do not say by heaven, because heaven is God's throne. And do not say by the earth, because the earth is his footstool. And do not say by Jerusalem, for Jerusalem is the city of the great king. Do not even say, by my head, for you can't turn one hair white or black. Just say a simple yes, I will, or no, I won't. Anything beyond this is from the evil one. That's really interesting. Anything beyond this is from the evil one. I don't need to do anything else. I'm a born-again Christian. I'm a follower of Christ. I love his word. I love him. I do my best in my life to reflect Jesus Christ, therefore imitating the way that he lived, and I do not need to give any other word other than, yes, I will, or no, I won't. Jesus forbid Christians from doing this, and James was confirming that teaching, and the issue appears to be about honesty. Truthfulness should be the absolute norm for those who trust in Christ. Our yes or no should be enough, because deception isn't an option. Now, just today, actually, I'm working at the church, and I've got a non-Christian working with me, and we've just received some quotes from three electricians. And my mate said, hey, we can make a few quid with that, Clive. You know, we can put our own quotes in. And I said, no, mate, anything I do here is above board. You know, I won't be making anything on the side. What it is what it is. And he couldn't understand that. So I was trying to explain to him, without condemning him, but explain to him that, you know, God can't bless a lie. You know, God blesses the truth. And whether it costs money just to be truthful, it doesn't matter. It's more important to be truthful. And he couldn't get a hold of that. Because the world says, no, it's money, money, money. You know, we live by the money. No, we live by the truth. Lest your yes be yes and your no be no. And I was actually saying that to him, that I've been preparing this message and I was going to use this point, because we have to stand by the truth. People need to see that we are different and that we don't stand by the world's values, but we stand by the values of God. Yes or no. If an oath is required to convince someone of honesty, our intentions, the suggestion is we are dishonest unless we give that oath. It's probable that James is saying this because taking oaths have become a way of winning the trust of someone in those times, maybe to get out of a formally made contract, or the person is a stranger and, you know, they wanted to rip him off, basically. So they were saying, look, I swear to you. And they would win the trust of the stranger, and then they would scam him. Obviously, the stranger unaware of that scam. And what was causing disputes among the Christians to whom James was writing? They were living by the wisdom of the world. Whatever it takes, whoever it hurts, it didn't matter. James says that to live that way is adultery. But God gives grace. Christians should repent and move close to God again. We should trust him to provide. We don't need to lie. We don't need to make those oaths to get money or to gain anything. God's grace is enough. We will meet the judge one day, and in humility, we must acknowledge that all of our plans are dependent on him. So, for instance, we're doing this church. We're making many changes, but that's not the be-all and end-all. The be-all and end-all is that we stand on truth, on Christ, regardless of circumstance, regardless of our needs. He is the be-all and end-all of everything. And he can change anything at any moment. So I'm probably just reminding you a couple of things now, because I just wanted to look back at James chapter 3, verse 1 to 12, and this is what it says, because it is so important, it really is, and I hope you know this. If you don't know this, then I think you've got a problem. But we really do have to be reflecting the light of Christ, living the life. And if you've been a Christian on the road for any amount of time, you'll know that people are watching in the world, and when you do something wrong, the fingers are pointing straight away. There's no messing about. So we really do have to be seen to be living the right life, the one that is intended for us to live by Christ. But this is what it says in James 3, verse 1 to 12. Dear brothers and sisters, not many of you should become teachers in the church, for we who teach will be judged more strictly. Whenever I start a talk in my church, I always say, Pastor Paul has put me in the pulpit, and if you don't agree with anything I say, have a word with him. Because he had put me here, and it's all on his shoulders. He is the one that can. This is a great responsibility for any leader, any elder in the church, because they have to be more righteous, to be seen to be more righteous than anyone else. Indeed, we all make mistakes, for if we could control our tongues, we would be perfect and could also control ourselves in every other way. And I'm reluctant to say this, but my biggest struggle is when gossip is in church. My goodness, it causes so much destruction when someone says something that they shouldn't say. Someone says something, maybe it is true. The point is, we shouldn't gossip. We shouldn't be talking behind people's backs. And it spreads like wildfire and causes so much hurt and pain. You know, and maybe you've had this experience yourself, where someone has said something about you. They've used their tongue in a way that they shouldn't, and it's hurt you, in my goodness, it really does. And I've had that experience in church, where someone has said something about me that wasn't true, and it really hurts. And you know, you can carry it for many, many, many years. It might have happened to you 50 or 60 years ago. That's true. 50, 60 years ago, when someone said just one hurtful thing, and you don't forget it. But on the other hand, somebody might have said something positive, some affirmation of your life, and it's hit your heart in such a way that you've carried that for 50, 60 years. And I've had that happen to me too. They are wonderful times, wonderful things that a Christian could affirm, because we are the people of God. We can affirm, we bring life or death with our tongue, and we choose to bring life. And I must admit that I've learned that later in life myself, that I can build someone up so much with my tongue that they carry it. And there's a couple now, thank God, that I've had that experience with. And it was years ago, and I didn't really intend that to happen. I just said something nice, and they remembered it. The tongue is a powerful weapon that we carry to make a difference to someone's life. We can make a large horse go wherever we want. This is verse 3 of James chapter 3. We can make a large horse go where we want by means of a small bit in its mouth. And a small rudder makes a huge ship turn wherever the pilot chooses to go, even though the winds are strong. In the same way, the tongue is a small thing that makes grand speeches. But we can't ignore what James says in chapter 3. People can tame all kinds of animals, birds, reptiles and fish, but no one can tame the tongue. It is restless and evil, full of deadly poison. Sometimes it praises our Lord and Father, sometimes it curses those who have been made in the image of God. And so blessing and cursing come pouring out of the same mouth. Surely, my brothers and sisters, this is not right. You know, James is saying, look, most of all, watch your mouth. That's what he's saying. Most of all, watch your mouth. Don't go making oaths. Don't go making promises that you can't keep. Just let your yes be yes, your no be no. Because we are people of God and we stand on truth. Don't grumble about each other, brothers and sisters, or you will be judged. For look, the judge is standing at the door. For examples of patience in suffering, dear brothers and sisters, look at the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. This is James 5, 9 to 11. I know it's a little before, but you'll see it all just come together now, hopefully. They were men of great endurance. You can see how the Lord was kind to them at the end, for the Lord is full of tenderness and mercy. So it's quite incredible the length James goes to when he's just talking about the tongue, because he understands the damage that it can cause. He understands that we need to be truthful in how we live our lives and in what we're saying, in our affirmation towards ourselves and as a people. And James Allen, this is a quote I think I've given before, but this is what he said. A man is literally what he thinks, his character being the complete sum of all his thoughts. And then Proverbs 15:23 says, a word spoken at the right time into the right circumstances is better than the best treasure. And friends, yes it is. I've had people affirm in my life. One comes to mind, Doug Burton, an old friend of mine, 86. I was less than half his age. But he saw a treasure in me that no one else did. And when everybody else was going to drop the hammer, Doug Burton didn't. And he said to other friends of mine, you can drop out on Clive, words of this effect anyway, you can drop out on Clive, but I'll support him until the day I die. Strong words. And he did support me till the day he died. He supported me wholly and fully, even when I was making mistakes. He stood at my side, walked me through, and was there at the end. And you've got people like that that'll walk with you, that will just be a friend and mean what they say. My goodness, such powerful words. Just a smile and a hello on the Golden Bridge. The Golden Gate Bridge is the premier suicide venue in the United States. The lure of the bridge as a place to end one's life. And such individuals fly long distances to San Francisco. They go directly to that bridge and they jump to their deaths. In preparing a talk on suicide prevention, I read about a man in his 30s who left a note in his apartment that said he would not jump from the Golden Gate Bridge if on the way to the bridge he met just one person who smiled at him. He jumped. And that's a true story. How important it is, just one person he wanted to smile, and he wouldn't jump. Proverbs 12:18, there is one whose rash words are like a sword thrust, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Matthew 18:18, verily I say unto you, whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. What powerful, powerful this is. Such great power it has, what we can do being children of God. A brother who has been insulted is harder to win back than a walled city, and arguments separate people like the barred gates of a palace. Don't do it. Don't use your mouth to drag others down. Don't use your tongue to pull others down. Use it to build them up. You know, and I'm learning, and I'm 53, I'm learning as I get older not to do that, because I have done it. I have, unfortunately. But I hope now that I don't. Even when I learn of something, that someone's done something bad, I don't drag them down. We don't know where they come from, where they've been, what kind of life they've led. Don't drag people down. Build them up. What good are we if we lose the ability to connect with the world? It's a good question. What good are we if we lose our ability to connect with the world? The power of the spoken word, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat of its fruit. Verses 14 and 16 of James 5. Order of prayer, the prayer of faith. Are you sick? You should call the elders to come and pray over you. Talk about sin. You know, sin does bring sickness, not all the time, but it does. I suppose a good example of that is a paralytic man in Mark chapter 2, where Jesus, first of all, forgave his sins. And of course, there was a lot of bickering going on. And then Jesus said, to prove to you that I can forgive sins, now I'm going to heal him. And he does both. Now, we can't really say that his sickness physically was anything to do with his spiritual sickness. But it does kind of appear that way. And the Bible also does say, God's word says, that, you know, sickness will find out. It'll come out of us some way. And it does. If we're depressed, it can come out in a sickness. Certainly it did in my mother. She was a very sick woman, and I know that she formerly did lead a very sinful life, but thankfully she did change. But anyway, call the elders. And I must admit that I think, do I really want to call the elders to come and pray for me and anoint me with oil? But this is what James is saying. I think there are not too many elders that I would call, but there are one or two that I think, you know what, I really connect with those two. The others that I can't call, others will, and I know they do. But there are a couple that I would say, you know, I need to have a chat. I need to have a talk with you. They're put there for a reason. God has put them there for a purpose and a reason. And I can talk with them, and thankfully, and I'm really glad that I can say this, one of them that I trust wholeheartedly is the pastor, Pastor Paul. I can talk to Paul about anything, and I do. He's such a lovely man. He trusted me and helped it. He's helped me through some sticky times. Never pointed a finger, always been loving and caring and accepting, not judgmental, never rejected me, but prayed. Thank God for people like him. We're responsible for the care and welfare of each other. Tame the tongue. Now I'm just coming to a closing, and I realize there is a lot more that I should have said, but I really couldn't get off that the taming of the tongue, because I know, particularly in my latter life, if I can put it like that, how much I struggled. Would you take a problem to the elder? I encourage you so much to find an elder in your church that you can trust, one that you can connect with, one that God has placed there to identify with you, to stand with you in times of trouble, particularly now as we go just coming through COVID. Who knows what state you might have been left in because of this COVID situation. Once upon a time, an old man spread rumours that his neighbour was a thief. As a result, the young man was arrested. Days later, the young man was proved innocent. After having been released, he sued the old man for wrongly accusing him. In court, the old man told the judge, they were just comments. They didn't harm anyone. The judge, before passing sentence on the case, told the old man, write all the things you said about him on a piece of paper. Cut them up, and on the way home, throw the pieces of paper out. Tomorrow, come back to hear the sentence. The next day, the judge told the old man, before receiving the sentence, you will have to go out and gather all the pieces of paper that you threw out yesterday. The old man said, I can't do that. The wind spread them. I don't know where they've gone. Who's going to find them? They've gone everywhere. The judge then replied, in the same way, simple comments may destroy the honour of a man to such an extent that one is not able to fix it. If you can't speak well of someone, rather, don't say anything at all. Let's all be masters of our mouths so that we won't be slaves of our words. Your word is powerful. Talk to those that you can trust. Don't, if you've got a problem with somebody in church, please just go and speak to an elder about it. Get some advice from someone who's trusted in the church. Put your faith into gear before your mouth, because our mouths can create such damage. And as I say earlier, you might be one of those that have just been damaged by someone else's tongue. And the last thing we want, you know, we want to be reflecting Jesus Christ in our lives. We don't go gossiping about others, regardless of what it might be. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time together. Lord, such an important topic, the tongue, and taking it to someone, if we have a problem with someone in the church. Lord, when someone asked you how to pray, you said, we should pray, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Forgive us this day as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lord, we do ask for forgiveness of our trespasses, forgiveness of our sins. And we ask, Lord, to help us forgive those who have sinned against us. Even those, Lord, that have said such bad things about us in the past, that we are able to let go in our hearts and in our minds. And maybe we need to go to an elder to get prayer because it's been so damaging. Maybe it was our parents, a close friend, a brother or sister, someone in church. Lord, you can heal our heart and mind. And that's what we bring to you today. Father, just speak to us. Help us release our heart to someone that we can love, that we can trust. We bless you, Lord. Thank you for your Son. Thank you that you forgave us, even while we were sinners. Who are we, Lord, to hold on to unforgiveness? Lord, we want to forgive. And we ask you help us do that today. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thank you for joining. And I hope that what's been said from God's word will speak to you. Certainly, it challenges me and speaks to me. And is a great reminder not to drag anybody down, Christian or not. Just to see it for what it is. Let your yes be yes, your no be no. Stand for truth. Reflect Christ. God bless you.